Translation. The science of God describes the incarnation of the personality of Godhead and his different activities together with the activities of his great devotees. Srila Prabhupada purport. During the course of the existence of the cosmic manifestation, the chronology of history is created regarding the activities of the living entities. People, in general, have a tendency to learn the history and narrations of different men and times. But due to a lack of knowledge in the science of Godhead, they are not apt to study the history of the incarnations of the personality of Godhead. It should always be remembered that the material creation is created for the salvation of the conditioned souls. The merciful Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends to various planets in the material world and acts for the salvation of the conditioned souls. That makes the history and narrations worth reading. Srimad Bhagavatam offers such transcendental topics of the Lord in relationship with great devotees. Therefore, the topics of the devotees and the Lord are to be given respectful oral reception. So first, I wanted to share with you, before we start discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, a beautiful verse by Srila Sanatana Goswami from Krishna Lila Stava. It says, O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar, churn from the ocean of all Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you, who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you, who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of the Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna, who has returned among us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. Your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer respectful obeisances unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unworthy, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifested upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So that's so beautiful. It shows who is actually Srimad Bhagavatam. So I would like to start by asking you a question. What is actually the perfection of life? What would you say if we ask what is actually the perfection of life? Yes, dear. Yes. Yeah. Service. Yes. 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 Hari Boog, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yeah. I mean, you are all giving the perfect recipes to reach perfection, Prabhuji. Yes. Yes. Hari Bol. I didn't. Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, yeah. And? Anna? Surrender. Yes. I mean, Hari Bol. Yeah. Actually, what you all express, with that, we can understand why the kirtan are so ecstatic. Because when we were in the kirtan, it was like being in the spiritual world and feeling spiritual emotions. So, yeah, actually, all you said is so beautiful and true. And in I was focusing, reading that verse about what he said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if any one of you want to illustrate that purpose with any Sanskrit or Bengali verse, please do it. It can be very interactive. You can raise your hand and you can just quote the verse. Very, very often in many places, it's telling us that the perfection of life is actually to develop, to reach pure love for Krishna. Anybody wants to illustrate that verse? No, not yet. Please. Yes, yeah, very beautiful. So, to develop love of God, that's the perfection of life. One time a journalist, many journalists, ask the same question to Srila Prabhupada. Why did you come? Why did you come here? We already have tradition. We have some religious belief. So why did you come? And he answered that question in England in a very humoristic way. You probably know. He said, actually, for over 200 years, England has ruled India, you know, with the reign of Queen Victoria and so on. So he said, you have taken so many, many things in India. You have taken the some jewels in the temple, and we can find this jewel, I think, in the crown of the, how do you say, the treasure? Her Majesty, yeah, in the crown. He said, but there is something you forgot to steal, and I just came to bring it to you freely. It's a highest wealth. It's actually pure love of God. So Prabhupada was very, very generous. And as you know, he had a great, great sense of humor. Then next question is, you already mentioned it by your answers. But what is, you know, we are in this material world, most of us still, although we are aspiring devotees, and we want to reach love of God. We are trying as best as we can in our day to focus, to put Krishna in the center of our activities. But how can we develop love of God? What is an easy way to develop love of God? Yes, yes. Yes. Oh, yes, yes, Harinam, yes. Yeah, you already said yes, Prabhuji. Enthusiasm, yeah. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada told us that the key to success in Krishna consciousness, he gave many keys, but one of the main keys was to develop patience, enthusiasm, and patience and to, yes, yeah, determination. Yeah, because all of us, we have some of these qualities, but sometimes one of these three is a little less, you know. And also Yamuna Devi was telling us that Prabhupada said, I think today we are going to remember Yamuna Devi. Is it her appearance day today? She was so instrumental in spreading Krishna consciousness in England. So patience, enthusiasm, and determination. But one very, very easy way to develop love for Krishna is actually to hear about Krishna. Because how can we love God if we don't know him? You know, in all the tradition, religious tradition of the world, some mystics are going deep and deep, and they get to know the Lord. You know, we were talking yesterday in the Christian tradition about Saint Francis of Assisi, but they are really saintly people. But for the basic people, if they don't go very, very deep, it's not so many a description of the Lord. How does he look like? What he likes? You know, who are his friends? What kind of food he likes? You know, I never saw that in the Bible or in the Quran or even less in the Buddhist books. You know, how he's joking. I was getting fearful what kind of relationship, personal relationships we can develop with him. So that's the beauty of actually the Srimad Bhagavatam and all the scriptures. They can give us many, many details about the qualities of the Lord and about his activities, his pastimes. And by hearing them, we become very, very attracted and we can go further in developing love for God. Because you have noticed, maybe even before you became devotees, but in a society in general, we are very, very attracted to hear about extraordinary, famous personalities. We have so many books. We have so many movies, series, you know, about extraordinary personalities. And we become very attracted. We want to hear, we want to know. Even we have a lot of information about the royal members in England. We just saw the coronations and all the people in general, they want to see how these people behaved. So it's even more and more attractive to listen about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of all the superheroes, he's the superhero. Nobody can equal him in heroic deeds. And In the scriptures, like we were reading about the Srimad Bhagavatam, who can be our best friend, our constant companion, we have all description of the Lord and descriptions of the great devotees. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, and Srila Prabhupada repeated it, that there are so many, many things happening in the spiritual world that we could have more than one newspaper every day. And it will never repeat itself. like when you look at the news, first, it's almost always disasters. It makes you depressed. It's about wars, about a disease, about COVID. So you don't feel very inspired to go on joyfully starting your day. But it's repeating itself. You know, there is one event and they discuss it over and over. But so much happening in the spiritual world, where every step is a dance, every word is a song, so many adventures that it doesn't need to be repeated. So we have so many heroes, so many transcendental devotees, but I was thinking to focus on our dear Srila Prabhupada. And probably a Lila that you already heard, but we can remember these heroic deeds by Srila Prabhupada together. Of course, as Prabhu said, one way to reach pure love of God, it's the Harinam, and Harinam, chanting of the Holy Name, and we can say also the Harinam Sankirtan mission, the distributing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada books. And in that way, we can say that the transcendental topics described in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita are actually going on in the present days through the distribution of books. It's so many lila. Sometimes we say that we know that Krishna is his rasa lila, but we can say that the Rasa Lila of Lord Chaitanya, it's actually Harinam and book distribution. And so many relationships come from that exchange between spreading the Holy Name and the message of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and the suffering conditioned souls. So, dear devotees, let's pick up some very transcendental, heroic deeds of Srila Prabhupada. There are so many, but we just have hardly 15 minutes, so let us try. You know, just in hardly 12 years, Prabhupada traveled the world, I think, was it 14 times? Yeah. And at such an advanced age. And he took responsibility to accomplish a miracle, to establish this beautiful ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. One day, I think it was in India, there was a darshan, and there was one Indian gentleman who stood up to ask a question. And he said he wanted a little bit to show off. So he, in a very dramatic way, said, Srila Prabhupada, how can I help you? So Srila Prabhupada looked at him very, very intensely, you know, and everybody was feeling a little uncomfortable in the room, and says, you want to help me? He said, I have this very enormous task of leading this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's an international movement. And I tell you, it's giving me such a big headache. You want to help me? So please, take some of my headache. So the man didn't know how to pursue. You remember that when Srila Prabhupada was starting the movement in New York, when he came out of the immigration, he said, I didn't know where to go, to turn right or left. But it all started, that impossible mission, it all started very, very long ago, because as you know, Srila Prabhupada's life was a life in preparation of that great mission. So What I'm going to narrate, you know, I'm sure, happened in the years 50. It was told by the Pujari of Advaita Acharya, a temple in Shantipur. The Pujari was a young man, and he was used to see a man, a Bengali Vaishnav householder, come maybe once every 2 months, come in the back of the temple at the place where Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya used to gather. And he was praying very, very intensely. He was crying and he was talking to the Lord, like begging and chanting very, very deep japa. So the Pujari didn't want to disturb him, and he came every month for many years. And at some point, he didn't come anymore. But one day, many, many years later, the Pujari was getting old. He saw a Vaishnav, a Bengali sannyasi going at the same place at the back of the temple and crying and begging the Lord and chanting very, very powerfully and purely. And he recognized the young household Vaishnav who used to come many years before. So that time, he approached him. And he said, Swamiji, can I ask you a question? I recognize you. You used to come. Hare Krishna. Shishu Adagokulananda Kitsha. Shishu Sitaram Lakshman Anuman Kitsha. You used to come many, many years before. What are you actually asking the Lord? Why are you crying and begging like that? So the Vaishnav Sannyasi said, actually, I'm about to accomplish or to try to accomplish an impossible mission that my spiritual master gave me. And here is the place where Advaita Acharya, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, were planning the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So I'm begging their mercy to be able to fulfill the order of my spiritual master. And he left, not to be seen anymore by the Pujari. Some years after, and the Pujari was getting really old then, he was sitting and he heard a beautiful kirtan coming from the main road. And it was so joyful, so pure, a little like the kirtan we just had, you know, very melodious, very enthusiastic. So he had a hard time to walk, but he came out to see what was happening. And he couldn't believe his eyes. Devotees in a dhoti, shaved head, shika, tilak, ladies in beautiful saris. But he couldn't believe his eyes because their skin was white. So he remembered actually the prophecy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that one day people from all over the world will come together with their Indian brothers to chant, to glorify the holy name of Gauranga. And then he went, he was so enthused and moved, he went to one devotee. But the devotee couldn't speak Bengali. And he couldn't speak English. So the devotee did not know what to do. He took Back to Godhead magazine and he gave him. So he couldn't read, he just looked. And he saw a picture. And he saw the picture of Srila Prabhupada. He said, oh, it's my old friend who came to beg the Lord to be able to fulfill this mission. And he thought, oh, he has succeeded in fulfilling the impossible mission. of his spiritual master. And he ran to the Iskon. There was already a small Iskon temple. And I think you were there in the beginning, Rukmini Prabhu, in Mayapur. So he ran there. Prabhupada had left the planet already. And he told the devotees, that's how we heard about that extraordinary story. So let's go back to New York. I think it was in Madison Square when Srila Prabhupada was actually sitting on a bench. It was winter. He had two chadar, his little white rubber plastic shoes from Vrindavan. And he was looking, he never saw snow before. So even at one point he thought somebody has painted the walls white. And then an American gentleman came, very surprised to see him there in the winter, and told him, oh, you have retired? You wanted to see America? You like America? And Prabhupada said, oh, it's like hell. And then he says, why did you come for? Again, the same question. Why did you come for? Then Srila Prabhupada told him in a very prophetic way. And remember, at this time, he had absolutely no money. Sometimes he wouldn't have even enough money to buy boga to cook for the Lord. And his stomach was paining at night. Because he was starving, he couldn't sleep. He knew practically nobody at that time. So he said, I have great opulence. He said, I have so many followers, and I have 108 temples. He says, time is separating. So Prabhupada accomplished all that miracle in hardly 12 years. Somebody asked him if he had mystic power, if he could do miracles. And he showed all his disciples, and not only his disciples, now he would show all of you. And he said, they are my miracle. So actually time is getting short. Let's see. I wanted to talk about two miracles of Srila Prabhupada. We probably have time for only one. You can choose the one. One is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, being printed, the 18 volumes in 2 months. Impossible again. Huh? And the other is Prabhupada going to the kingdom of atheism in 1971, namely the Soviet Union, and from just a 5 days visit, transforming that kingdom, that bastion of atheism, into one of the greatest blooming field for Krishna consciousness, namely Russia. So you choose, because which one? Number two? Two, okay. One and two, but I don't want you to starve. Shall we start by Russia and then you decide if you want? Okay. But Russia, it could be all the seminar, but I will just talk about Srila Prabhupada in starting. Okay. So it started with a wonderful devotee called Krishna Das. He was in Germany. You remember Krishna Das? I think he married one of the sisters of Lila Shakti, who was our pujari in Bury Place. So Krishna Das met a lot of Indologists and a German one. And one time, one of them told him, do you know, in Russia, it's so many, many people, so many teachers, was studying Vedic literatures. they will be very, very interested to meet Srila Prabhupada. So there was actually an exchange of letters, and one of them, that maybe you remember the name, Professor Katowski, had an exchange of letters with Shyamasundar and Prabhupada. Shyamasundar replied and he said, actually, our spiritual master would like very much to come and discuss Vedic literatures with you. So Professor Katowski, who was a very cultured, very nice atheistic man, said, oh, it would be very nice. It was not an invitation, but that letter was enough when Shyamasundar went to the Russian embassy to get a visa for Prabhupada, for his secretary Shyamasundar, and also for Aravinda, who was the servant. So they were ready to go, and Srila Prabhupada was so pleased and excited, and they went there. So they knew we shouldn't bring any books. It was a well-known fact, because at that time, the Soviet government said that they had three enemies. So it was rock and roll music, Coca-Cola, and the Hare Krishna. So books were really quite dangerous. Already Christian people, when they were printing Bibles in the Soviet Union, were sent to prisons and to the camp. Because actually it was considered that you were crazy if you believed in God. In the churches, no young people were allowed. Just old babushka and old grandfather, you know, guards were actually guarding. So no books. They came to the immigration place. And Prabhupada passed by, Aravinda passed by, and Shyamasundar was told, open your small suitcase. He opened it, and by doing some wrong gesture, the immigration officer made the suitcase fall on the floor. And that, if I'm not wrong, that beautiful little blue pocket Bhagavad Gita felt on the floor and shone out of its own glories. And Shyamasundar became white. but the man was quite, he saw pictures all over the floor and he was quite embarrassed to have made everything fall. So he says, put it back. What's happened, as you know, is that our wonderful Malati, she's known for spiritual disobedience. But it's always very good, you know, it ends always very good. So she thought, it's crazy. Srila Prabhupada is going to Moscow and there is no Bhagavad Gita. So she took a small Bhagavad Gita without telling anyone. She smuggled it in Shyamasundar's suitcase. That's how the event described before happened. So they went, and of course Srila Prabhupada met Professor Katowski. It was a very nice discussion, but Professor Katowski was kind of brainwashed by, you know, the, I can say, philosophy of atheism. Actually, at that time in Moscow, they had a university of atheism. You know, it was studied, all the history of the glorious atheism. Prabhupada convinced Professor Katowski about Vanashram Dharma. You know, although in the Soviet Union you want to have a classless society, it's not possible because everybody has different tendencies. Some people naturally would like to teach. Some people would develop, you know, some business qualification. Some would like to administrate, to protect the countries, and some will do any kind of service to serve the society. Although you want a classless society, it's not possible. It comes with everyone. Qualification are there in everyone from birth, and then they are developed, you know, by teaching, by knowledge, by association. So the conversation was very nice about Vedic literatures, but the real goal of Srila Prabhupada to come to the Soviet Union was to meet the youth. And he said, can I meet the students? And Professor Gatovsky says, oh, we have no students today. can I meet the other teachers in the institute? Oh, we have no teachers today. Actually, Professor Gatovsky was so frightened of KGB that he had chosen a day when nobody will be in the institute. No student, no teachers, no sweeper, nobody. So Srila Prabhupada felt very, very disappointed because he knew, of course, anybody can take to Krishna consciousness. There is no body designation that can check us for becoming Krishna conscious. But he knows that the youth is going to make the difference. Like in the material, although devotees, even when they become old, they're still young. But in the material world, the youth, they have the enthusiasm, they want to know what is life for, they want to revolutionize everything that's wrong in the world. They can change the world. So Prabhupada wanted to talk to the youth, but it was practically impossible. Because at that time, if a Russian citizen would in the street talk to foreigner, he could be taken to the prison. So Prabhupada did some tour on a bus, but he became fed up. There was a tour guide. He became disappointed and fed up. And our dear Shyamasundar was praying to Krishna, oh, Krishna, can you make some arrangement that Prabhupada meet some young people? And shortly enough, soon enough, he was approached by a young Russian boy who had an Indian friend with him. The boy asked Shyamasundar, oh, do you have any jeans to sell? Because the young people couldn't get anything from the West. And they were very eager to get things from the West. So Shyamasundar said, no, I just have this kind of clothes, you know. He said, are you coming from India? No, I'm not coming from India. Do you have any records from the Beatles to sell? No, but I have something better. You know, my teacher, the spiritual master of the Beatles, is in the hotel. Would you like to see him? So the young boy was very interested. He says, oh, yes. He says, we will go and meet your spiritual master in the hotel. He had some knowledge, a little bit of Indian philosophy. He was very intelligent. Very smart, he was studying philosophy and many other subjects. So he came, his name was Anatoly, and he came and he met Srila Prabhupada. And immediately something magical happened. He was even more interested that his friend, the Indian friend, Madhukar, because Madhukar, unfortunately, a lot of young Indian youth was thinking, I know it all already. But Prabhupada gave so, so much to Anatoly. Shyamasundar said, I never saw Prabhupada in only 2 days giving so much to one single person. And he talked about Vanashram Dharma, about we are not this body, about the soul, how to progress, everything he could. And at one point, Anatoly became very enthusiastic and told him, I want to spread Krishna consciousness. I'm convinced. But in order to do so, shall I become a pope? You know, the pope, Orthodox Christian priest, they are dressed in black, they have long hair, beard. So he asked Prabhupada if he should have this appearance to preach Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada told him, no, it's not necessary. And they talked. Only 2 days they had before Prabhupada left. And before leaving, Anatoly asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, it will be useful if I had a Western wife to support me, to help me, teach me. And Prabhupada didn't say no, but that's another story. So that was like a miracle, unfortunately, very shortly, but that how Prabhupada planted the seed of what's happening now in Russia and in Ukraine, because it was spread. Now it's like fighting, but they are not enemies. They are like brothers. It was also the same for all the countries of the ex-Soviet Union. It was spread all over in the Baltic countries. And Srila Prabhupada, when he met Anatoly, who was to become Anantashanti Prabhu, said, when you, in India, when you want to see if the rice is good, you see a whole bag of rice. So you just take a grain and you see the quality of the grain of rice. And if the grain of rice is good, it means most, unless there is cheating at the bottom, and sometimes that happens in India, unless there is cheating, it means the whole bag will be very good. So when he met that young Russian boy, he understood there is so much potential in this country for spreading Krishna consciousness. It's a lot of potential. People will be inquisitive, very serious, ready to give up everything for spiritual life, to give up their freedom, their health, their mental health, just to develop, as we said in the beginning, to reach the perfection of life, to develop love of God. So, dear devotees, my time is over, so I'm just your servant, and you tell me, do you want to ask questions? Do you want me to talk about something else? So I'm your servant. The book? Yes. Prabhupada left the Bhagavad Gita definitely to Anatoly, and the Bhagavad Gita at that time there was no, it was not translated, there was no printing press, so many people got interested. They got the book for one day, and day and night they wrote it by hand. And as soon as they finished, it was actually given to somebody else like that, very secretly. And just to let you know, it's so funny. For the when Krishna consciousness developed, our dear Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj, he actually became a devotee, and he was very educated. So he came and he saw all his family was a family of scientists, and he was himself studying science in a prestigious university. And then he he read the first, I think, Shrish Upanishad. There was a translation by a wonderful devotee who passed away. He was from Hungary. He thought he knew Russian, but Bhaktivinoda Maharaj said he didn't really know Russian. He used a very ancient old dictionary from the past century, English Russian, and it would give, I give you two examples of when the Sri Upanishad was translated. When we say, you know, we're servant of God, he used a Russian name that I forgot, meaning that we are like a slave. It's like slavery more than the mujik, like, we, you know, of Krishna, of God, like that. Or else when it says Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the Lord, he translated the Lord by the English name of, in England, the lords, you know, with the wigs that were, that were sitting in the parliament like that. So that was that kind of book. But still, as it is, as Prabhupada said, and as it is said also by Krishna Das Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, although it may be many defects, and very big defects, as we see in the translation, devotees were attracted. You know, devotees were attracted by the book. So, Rukmini Prabhu. Please feel completely free and comfortable to leave if you have, because time is over.
Mandakini Prabhu, thank you so much. And I would like to know, my question is, I would like to know, what is your secret?
It's an open secret that I'm learning from you and from all of you. The secret is to, and I realized it, you know, in the most difficult situation, to understand. I mean, they speak for me because I know I don't have qualifications. To know when I'm given a task, to know how useless I am and I'm lacking, you know, qualifications, material qualification, intelligence. So the secret is to beg Srila Prabhupada and Lord Nityananda, Panchatattva and Krishna, that maybe if they are merciful enough to become just a tiny, tiny little instrument to let them act. And then miracles happen. They do it and it's perfect. And it's what I did this morning before the class because I did my computer broke. I couldn't prepare, so I begged to not to waste the devotee's time like that. And they're always happy to help. They're always happy. So it's when we do that, it's like we become witness of the Lord's doing, Prabhupada, you know. It's an open secret, and I'm learning from you. Krishna. When you say apple, it reminds us of the miracle of our three heroic couple, Yamuna Devi, Gurudas, Shyamasundar Malati, Mukunda, Janaki, when they went to the apple studio.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for class. My question was, having spent most of your life in Krishna consciousness and having gone through so much, what advice would you give to, you know, aspiring devotees from all your experience?
Beautiful. Yeah, the humble advice I would give would be somehow or other, And after we can maybe develop what means somehow or other, to never become discouraged. Radhana Swami used to say that we are not sun weather devotees. Like, sometimes the sun is shining and we feel very good, the sky is blue. And many days in the years, there is rain, gray sky, in some countries, very heavy snow. And we should remember the good time when actually the sun is shining. We know it will come back. And we should take that strength from these beautiful moments to be strong in times of difficulties. Because in our spiritual life, I'm sure all of you have experienced when we first join, we get so many realizations, such a strong test for the holy name. Krishna is actually kidnapping us. You know, he's giving so much mercy, so wonderful associations. It's just a mercy flowing. But after, over the years, time comes for purification. It's like when you make ghee. I think most of you have seen how we make the ghee, isn't it? Who didn't know how to make the ghee? Everybody knows. We just boil the butter, and impurities are going to come up at the surface. And it's a little disturbing because they come up, they don't come all at once. Maybe we think it's finished, but we think we have reached some good level of Krishna consciousness, but out of the blues, another impurity comes and we feel very ashamed, but it's there. So it will take time in our spiritual life. And when the impurities come, it makes a crust. So we shouldn't push back the crust into the butter. We should just remove it. So my advice would be not to become discouraged. This discouragement is normal, but we should know it's part of the process. And we should know that if we pass the test, Krishna is going to be so pleased. He's going to give so much, so many realizations. He's going to be willing to give so much happiness, spiritual happiness to us, that with our two hands, we won't be able to receive it. Another advice will be we should focus on the goal. The goal is absolutely priceless. And we have so many information. Prabhupada is giving so much in his books, in his letters, in his morning walks. We should dive into that. And also our wonderful, new spiritual master, our spiritual leaders, they are there to help. So we have to remember we are a family. At times we will have difficulties. And at time we will be strong, that's normal. So we should find people in the Vaishnava family that we trust. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to approach them, to disclose our difficulties, to open our heart. And when time comes for them to do the same, we should listen to them. And another advice, it's so many advice, everybody, Anutama Prabhu, everybody, my dear God sisters, everybody and all the devotees can give advice. Another advice is to avoid criticism, to avoid people who criticize, just to be respectful, but not listen to criticism that will lessen our faith. Of course, if we see something is wrong, it doesn't mean we have to be blind. We should recognize if, according to Sadhu, Shastra, something is really wrong, and we can talk to our mentor or people we trust to see what to do with the situation, but never to indulge in criticism. It can just destroy the very fragile devotional creep that we try. You know, Lord Chaitanya planted the seed, and Prabhupada also watered the seed, and we try also to make it grow. It's very fragile. We alone, we are not so strong, so we have to avoid criticism. But please, dear devotees, share any other advice. Prabhuji.
I remember when I first came here, the Krishna consciousness, and I met Mother Kalangana, and she shared with me many things. But sometimes, I remember one particular time, I was criticizing something within the kitchen setup, and she turned round to me, and quite suddenly and ferociously, she said, "Give it up." I was shaking in my boots. Yeah. You know, and these little shocks, as you say, we got to go to our mentors, are the people we respect. But, you know, we got to show how foolish we are too, and not be afraid of that, you know. That's how I remember Mother Kalinga. And one of her last words, she said, "Krishna will smash you."
Krishna will?
Smash you.
Yeah.
And I never forget that. And it's never stopped. So I count my blessing that she gave me this view of the future. You need to be made, well, almost humiliated, really, by your own incompetence, you know. But it's a blessing as well, you know, if you can see it that way, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful. Thank you very much. Yeah, Mother Kulangana, she was so extraordinary. By your example, you could remember for life what she told you. And at that point, Srila Prabhupada said that even the pure devotees, great acharya, they always feel incomplete. They never think, I'm a pure devotee. They think, I'm so fallen, I'm so incomplete. Because Prabhupada says, if you don't think like that, then you don't leave space for Krishna and the spiritual master to help you progress more.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the beautiful class. I was just wondering, you said that the Russian devotee, he married someone. I was wondering if you know that person and you could explain a little bit about how she helped him.
Do you want to starve this morning? Srila Prabhupada was in the plane leaving Russia, and he asked Shyamasundar, he said, "Who do you think should go and marry Anatoly?" And Shyamasundar thought and he said, "I think Mandakini should go." And Srila Prabhupada had a big smile and he said, "I was thinking the same." So when Krishna, I'm feeling very guilty because it's okay. So when Prabhupada first went to Paris for 2 days, he had great adventures there. But it's another story. Then he came to London. He came often to Bury Place Temple because it was actually, London was in the center of his world traveling. I was serving Shishwadananda Nishvara. Actually, they were serving me to get rid of a lot of impersonalism. And when Prabhupada came doing menial work, like, you know, washing his clothes, ironing his clothes, burning them, and, you know, cooking little sandesh. And when they went, boy came and said, Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. So he felt a little worried because I just had burnt one dhoti. And it was at the edge and I had cut it. So I thought, oh, Krishna, Krishna, what's going to happen? But then, just about 2 weeks before, I had read in one of Prabhupada's purport, and unfortunately I don't remember where, that if the spiritual master is asking you to do a task a little difficult, and if you say yes immediately, you will do a lot of spiritual progress. So I became very excited. I was like maybe 20 years old, you know. Became very excited. I rushed to Shishuradananda Nishvara because by that time I understood they were real persons. They said, my dear Lord, you're so clever. You can do anything you want in this world. So can you make some arrangement that Srila Prabhupada is going to ask me something a little difficult? Lord Krishna, but please help me remind me to say yes. And then I forgot about it. And then we come back to the time when Prabhupada is calling. So I come, I knock on the door. I heard this beautiful voice saying, come in. I offer obeisances. Shyama Sundar is standing. Prabhupada says, come close. He has a big smile. So I think, oh, it's not the dhoti. And then he said, come close. He's sitting behind his low table. And he's so beautiful. It's such a nice room in Bury Place. The colors, if I remember correctly, it's a wooden floor, beams, long beams, blue color, and a saffron peach color on the wall. And Prabhupada liked that room. It was the same color, his childhood room in Calcutta was. So I come close, and I always, when I tell the story, I always say the same because I remember it the same. It's like Prabhupada in a voice, very normal, like he would ask me, Mandakini, can you go get some potatoes across the street? You know, he said, Mandakini, would you like to go to Moscow and to marry that boy, Anatoly? He said, and by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, try to assist the mission there. And Prabhupada knew I didn't want to get married. He was always joking about that. Every time asking when he came to Bury Place, oh, you are not married yet, Mandakini? You didn't find anybody good enough for you? And I would become all red and run out. And half a second, I'm shocked. And then Krishna, Radhananda Nishvara, they helped me to remember my prayer. So I looked at him, and I know it's going to be adventure. So I tell him, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then he smiles, he's becoming big, you know, what we call oceanic. And he tells Shyama Sundar, you arranged it. And it was the beginning of the saga.
So if that's your answer to Dimple's question, how do we make spiritual advancement?
And actually, Rukmini Prabhu has been to Moscow. She can testify. Anuttama Prabhu has been also to our farm community.
Siberia.
Siberia, you have been to Moscow, St. Petersburg. There is, we can see how Prabhupada's dream became true. So many sincere, devotees in Russia and Ukraine and all these countries. So when we go there, they are so extraordinary. We want to be their servants. We want to assist them. But you are also very extraordinary. When we come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, we couldn't keep up the speed of the preaching engagements. you never stop.
No. Hare Krishna Mataji, I was just reading about you in an article by Mother Govinda Dasi, and I have just two paragraphs on you. Can I read it? Soon Mandakini would indeed go to Russia and marry Anand Shanti, take him some books and train him to cook, make offerings, perform deity worship, and so many things to help spread Krishna consciousness there. Mandakini was an excellent pujari and cook, so she was able to impart everything to the young men in the few weeks allowed by her visa. Later, however, she was somehow blacklisted by the Russian government, and though she tried for years to re-enter Russia, even from different countries, she was unable to do so. Mandakini took Srila Prabhupada's instruction as her heart and soul. This is the duty of every disciple, and she was most successful. It seemed her job was done. Well done.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.